host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. Another edition of the TJ Sideways Podcast coming to you from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. All of our guests tonight are appearing on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline. And that guest list for this week includes Caleb Helms, your winner at not only the Attica Raceway Park, but the grand reopening of Mansfield Motor Speedway. Linton Jeffrey from Iowa made the trek over to Attica and then to Port Royal, where he picked up the victory at the port. So we'll talk to Linton, and also Dan McCarron in our local segment, talking about his big plans for 2017, chasing the Fast 410 series. Trevor Hollis joining me in the co-pilot seat once again this week. Trevor, how are you doing this evening?
Always an honor to be here, TJ.
Yeah, pretty busy week this past week.
It was.
Business is picking up.
It was the World of Outlaws in action, a lot of non-wing sprint car racing around the Midwest opening up. Of course, you just mentioned Port Royal. It's 2017 is upon us.
Yeah, it really is. It was starting to get a bit hectic around the headquarters. Unfortunately, some sad news to start off this week. We learned Saturday night, early Sunday morning, that legendary pavement sprint car driver Dave Steele passed away after an accident at the DeSoto Speedway on Saturday. And Trevor, a lot of things get said about people when they pass, and maybe I don't want to say they're elevated, but I mean, you hear a lot of nice things and stuff. Dave Steele is legitimately the best pavement sprint car driver I have ever witnessed with my own eyes.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to see Dave race on pavement. Of course, that what it says about him is having not witnessed him a lot, but still very familiar with some of the things he was able to do. Just speaks to his ability in the pavement world, in the sprint cars especially. And you said it at the opening there that it's just another huge loss to the racing community. Pavement dirt, it doesn't matter. When a legend like that unfortunately passes away, everybody loses, and we get to think back on all the great things he did and just cherish those and remember Dave for those opportunities to catch a tremendous racer.
Yeah, great driver, great businessman, great father and husband as well. And I was glad I got a chance to see him last year at Anderson at the Little 500. We don't get to see Dave since he moved back to Florida as much as we used to. But I mean, the show, Trevor, to show you the level of respect when you're walking into the Little 500. I ran into a now inducted to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame driver, and we were talking. I was just surprised to see him there, and they're in street clothes. I'm like, well, what are you doing here? It's like, well, I always wanted to see this race, and I had to see Dave Steele race. That guy is just incredible. And this is coming from someone that has won just about everything he could possibly win. So, I mean, you know, to someone at that level to have that. And that's the kind of respect Dave held within the sprint car community. He was, you know, that he was one of those guys that was put on a pillar for what he could do. And if you're interested in helping out Dave's family, I encourage you to look up the USAC Benevolent Fund, usacbf.org, reputable organization that you can make a donation to in Dave's name for his wife and kids, and they will make sure that gets taken care of. So if you're interested in helping out Dave Steele, make sure to check out the USAC Benevolent Fund. On a more happy note, quite a weekend for our guest, Caleb Helms. He's going to be our first guest of the evening. And Trevor, man, goes out to Attica Raceway Park, runs down Tim Schaefer, and then wins the wing feature over at Mansfield.
Absolutely. Great weekend for Caleb coming. We'll talk to him a little bit later about it, but coming off of a many-year drought before he found himself back in victory lane.
And how about that non-wing race at Mansfield?
Oh, boy, I was watching that one the other day between Wyndham and Jack Onshield. Still knows how to wheel that car, and they went back and forth. They were on the wheel, though. That track was, which is totally expected for first couple of weekends of racing back on the dirt, and the track definitely put the driver in control of that one. And if you have a chance to check out that video, I saw it, I believe, on Jack Slash. It was just one of those reasons that non-wing racing is so entertaining, and I guess you could also say potentially dangerous as well. But those two guys, Wyndham and Jack Onshield, put on one heck of a show. Check it out if you can.
I do want to say the note. I mean, look, I didn't go. The reason I didn't go, I've been to enough opening nights at new racetracks, new management. I can safely say anything that happened at Mansfield, as far as lines, dust, whatever, is the norm. I mean, look, this isn't easy to do. I know people that did this for 20 years, and it took them 20 years to figure out how to do it right. And so don't, like, get too hard on them yet. Now, you go three seasons down the road, and they're still blowing that much dust, and the lines are still that long. Okay, you got a problem. But, I mean, you have to, I don't know if it's just unrealistic expectations or what, but I mean, I guess, I don't know, this is my age showing. I've been to enough new management first night / new facility first nights to kind of know, all right, this is a soft opening. I'm glad, Trevor, they're taking 3 weeks to kind of get their stuff organized before big races this summer.
Well, and I don't think that there's no problem with having some opening growing pains and stuff like that. No. The bigger fact to me is that it's another racetrack. It's another Midwestern track that's opening the doors, that's putting dirt back in the racing map. And, you know, yeah, I had some friends on Facebook that were there. They posted some pictures. It was a little dusty, but you know, some of the local tracks, when you put brand new clay down or brand new dirt down, they're the same way. It's just got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Got to give them a season at least to figure out all of the little intricacies of the track. And like I say, just be excited about another local Midwestern track opening up where we can all enjoy racing again.
Plus, the place is palatial. I mean, it's like, it's really nice. And the other thing you have to keep in mind is I doubt they're expecting like 6,000 people to show up,
right,
too, on opening night. It's like, whoa, this is supposed to be kind of a soft opening, and they ended up with a throng there. But it's a good deal, and hopefully Absolutely. It carries on for these next 2 weeks. Some interesting news. If you're going to Kokomo Speedway next week for the Sprint Midget Doubleheader, just announced the Indiana Memorial Racing Association is going to unveil Brian Clausen's historical marker at Forest Park in Noblesville, Indiana, in the afternoon. It's early enough in the afternoon on April 8th that everyone will still be able to make it down and back up to Kokomo. So something else, Trevor, to check out for everyone that's going to Kokomo next week.
Yeah, I plan on being down there for that race, my first ever visit to Kokomo, so I'm going to have to put that on my list. I want to make sure to go over there and pay my respects. I'm sure there'll be some stories told about Brian and some of the stuff he did for racing in Indiana. So I'm excited to get down there, excited to be to Kokomo, and look forward to that opportunity.
Man, you're going to be ruined. They're going to ruin you for the rest of your racing season. Go, oh, my word, this place is awesome. So,
well, I'm excited to just go as a spectator. Yeah. And during the summer months, I announce up here in Michigan at a racetrack and don't get to go as a spectator, sit in the grandstands, have a pop and of popcorn and just watch some races.
That'll be fun. That'll be a good weekend there. Locally, some big news. Sprint cars are going back to Berlin on September 30th. That's going to be kind of nice.
Yes. I kind of thought that was going to be a done deal. They took a year or two off from bringing the dirt back to the speedway there in the Grand Rapids area. And good to see that they're coming back and they're coming back full force. They're not cupcaking around with the shows that they're bringing in.
No, there's a couple. It's more of a local flavor with some local stock car classes, but there's a sprint car race. It's going to be a non-point race, which should be interesting on September right. the 30th. And I like it because it's about 10 minutes from home. So that's from where I sit right now. So that's always a bonus as well. So a good deal there. Otherwise, No Way Out 40 was run on Saturday. Well, almost. It got rained out right as the feature was starting. They're going to run that as a feature tagged on as a bonus to the MSCS show scheduled there on June 24th. So, man, they did a heck of a job trying to get it in, but just couldn't quite beat Mother Nature.
Yeah. This early in the year, you have to expect a little help from Mother Nature, but not that much. Too much help. Yeah, slow down, Mother Nature.
Exactly. But if you can hit that early, you know, you get the people their first taste of racing for the winter after a long winter, man, it's a good way to go. And a lot of tracks have taken that approach over the years. And it's kind of rolling the dice a little bit, but it usually works out for tracks like that. Unfortunately, they even pushed up the start time there, and it just didn't quite work. But on the West Coast, I'll be happy when the World of Outlaws West Coast swing is over. I mean, no offense to our West Coast listeners, but my word, when you're trying to do what we do here and you're staying up for those results and the 3 hour time difference, man, is just killing me. And one week I fell asleep watching Dirt Vision in the heat races hadn't started yet. But they did get one show in, and how about Brad Sweet, man, passing shots for the win.
All right, there has now officially been three feature winners in the World of Outlaws in 2017. So somebody said earlier today, I was listening, and they was talking about, is this a streak? Is this? And then the very next night, Donnie Schatz goes out and ends that streak at a losing streak of one for the Articat 15 machine.
Yeah, we'll have to see how everything goes over there. I mean, Sweet has his own race coming up tomorrow night, and it's, they're going to have some pretty heavy hitting cars, including Kyle Larson,
yep,
who's coming off a NASCAR win. I mean, that couldn't work out better for them. You're hosting, you know, the World of Outlaws. You're promoting a show. You're having Kyle Larson come into race, and he wins a NASCAR race in California leading into that race. I mean, that's like storybook.
And he won the Infinity race on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Infinity on Saturday, NASCAR Monster Energy on Sunday, and who knows? World of Outlaws on Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah. So that would be pretty awesome if you could pull that off. So we'll have to keep track of the World of Outlaws as they continue to wind their way down the West Coast. Well, that's going to do it for our opening segment. When we come back, we're going to talk to Caleb Helms. And, man, what a weekend for this young man, you know, who, like Trevor said, had a bit of a dry streak and ended up winning not only at Attica, but at Mansfield. You're listening to the TJ Slideways podcast. Hello, everyone. TJ Buffenbarger from TJSlideways.com. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening to the podcast, reading the website for the past 21 seasons. Of course, we have some great sponsors that make all of this possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Musty Racing, Slade Shock Technology, and Specialty Fuels and Logistics. Make sure to go on the website, click the banners, support the people that support us in the rest of motorsports. Now for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Well, Trevor, this young man had a tremendous start to his 2017 season, picking up the opening night victory at Attica Raceway Park, and then reopening Mansfield Motor Speedway in fine style, doubling up on the weekend. Caleb Helms, congratulations, man. What a weekend.
Thank you, TJ and Trevor. Appreciate that.
So let's start off here with Friday night. I'm looking at the lineup, and I see Tim Schaefer on the front row, and I'm thinking, this thing is done. And I'm watching it on Race Monitor. All of a sudden, I see that gap closing. Why don't you take us through catching Schaefer and passing him in turn three for the lead?
You know, I was just thinking about running my car and figuring out where I could make the most speed on the track. And the thought of winning was there when I got into second right off the start, but I just kind of knew I just needed to keep myself calm and focus on racing my race. And I think that really played to my advantage. You know, being a second is an advantage sometimes when you're good, and I had a great car, amazing car. I could really drive in anywhere and handle, and the track was fast. But you know, I just noticed as I calmed myself down about halfway through the race a little bit more and realized where he was running, and I could be a little lower than him. He was up in the high stuff. I started to notice I could come through the corners a little bit lower and start to catch him that way. And eventually I was right on his tail coming off of two and was able to make a pass in three.
Well, Caleb, congratulations also from my point of view here. We had a great weekend. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you on that one?
No, you didn't. Nope.
You had a chance to go back to Mansfield, which is newly dirt. I guess you could say newly dirt again, maybe. Talk about that. It was a second part of your weekend.
Yeah, you know, that was equally an amazing night for us, and we were pretty happy with just having that first night, and I was looking forward to just, you know, seeing what would happen the next night. Didn't expect it coming from 12th, but, I mean, I knew we had a good car again. And Mansfield opening up again is really, I think, a good thing for our sport, a good thing for our area. It's a cool track. You know, and I know my dad used to race there when he was younger, about my age, I guess, and when it was dirt still. And so it's pretty sweet being able to be the first winner on it when it came back to dirt.
You have a new addition to your team this year. What has Andy Potter brought to your race team for 2017?
A lot of, I'm trying to think of the right word, but, you know, he just is good at knowing what needs to happen. I guess that makes sense. And, you know, none of us really have to worry about that part anymore. I actually think he does better the less I try to say to him sometimes, just these short few races we've raced together. You know, he just has the confidence, and he can read the race car and the track, and he can and read me too. And so it's really just helps close the gap. That's probably an understatement. I mean, it's definitely nice having a veteran and somebody confident making the calls and helping me to do my job.
Well, Caleb, it's been a few years since you last saw Victory Lane. This has got to be probably, arguably, a great start to your season. Tell us about how you feel after a great weekend, and what's in store for 2017.
It's pretty funny because we were in the trailer, my dad and me, before the races at Attica, and he was filling out the driver information thing for me, and he's like, "So career highlights?" And you know, we've had some wins. We've had some really close wins and some good runs and stuff, but nothing that we really felt like noting. And we just kind of joked and said, racing here at Attica tonight, and said the best is yet to come. And it was just really funny that this weekend happened the way it did. You know, and in Victory Lane, we were all ecstatic. And you know, it's like we got the monkey off our back racing at home and finally won at home. And I mean, you know, Attica's close to home for us. It's kind of where we, you know, started out and being from Northwest Ohio. And you know, in Victory Lane, Andy was just making a comment that, you know, many more to come. And it's just, it was a very surreal weekend being able to knock off another one the next night. So a lot of things had to work out just right for it to happen. And, you know, we're really thankful that it did. And 2017, we're planning on racing with the All-Stars, and really just very proud to be a part of that, proud of what Tony's doing and what his team's doing, and excited to go to all the tracks that we'll be going to, especially like Wayne County and going to Alberta and stuff, and Atomic. Those are some fun tracks in Ohio, and we'll be going to some other places too, so I'm looking forward to the season and hopefully running up front and trying to win the points, so...
And the best part of your week or next couple weeks could be on the way any minute. How nerve-wracking is it, you know, trying to plan a race weekend like this and knowing that you're going to have a new baby pretty soon?
It's very exciting. I mean, that's the most exciting part of my life right now. So I've got a 2-year-old boy that I just put to bed a little bit ago, and my beautiful wife is very supportive, and I just am. I'm very blessed and thankful to be doing what I'm doing, and it's definitely going to be probably a couple people wondering where we're at if we're not racing next Friday, but I'm definitely going to be with her if anything's going on. So just very excited having another boy. I don't know if I said that, but I grew up and I was the second oldest of 12, and I had no brothers until the 9th and 10th, and then the last kids. So I grew up with all girls, and so now I'm kind of getting the reverse of it. I've got, you know, my wife, and then we're gonna have two boys, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
One of 12. So is that the end goal? Another dozen Helms kids running around?
There's 10 younger than me, so we're all pretty much.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say my dad started the company back in 97, I think, and just because he had a growing family then, and it was the sixth one on the way, and he's been so blessed, and he's done so much and been able to give me this opportunity to race, and I really appreciate it. And I guess I was just going to say, this company that he started, we're all, I think all of us are working there, down to the last one that's in out of high school. So it's pretty sweet.
Well, Caleb, once again, congratulations on an excellent season. Wanted to congratulate you on behalf of the new family edition that you're going to have. I'm expecting another one as well, so I know what you're feeling right now.
Congratulations.
I know you got a lot of people that help you throughout the racing season. Why don't you take a second to thank those that that make racing possible and put you back into victory lane?
Definitely. Thank you. Got to thank a new sponsor this year in Big Jerk, their premium gourmet jerky. They sell you know, anything from gator to chicken to beef or venison that they got. They're a national distributor, but they've got a local store in Findlay too. And then I've got Ferguson, who is we do a lot of business with, and they sell a lot of, you know, they've got a lot of branches. They're a big company. They sell waterworks and plumbing and stuff. And then we've got Tommy Tire Sales and my dad's excavation company, and I got to thank my grandpa for all his hard work and in the shop, and obviously Andy Potter, my dad, and Cody and Tony, some my crew guys. So,
well, Caleb, thanks for taking time out to join us. I'm glad the family thing all worked out. We didn't have any labor scares or anything else during the interview. And best of luck with the new family, and the we'll see you down the road in the 2017 season.
That sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Hello, everyone. TJ Buffenbarger from TJSlideways.com. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening to the podcast, reading the website for the past 21 seasons. Of course, we have some great sponsors that make all of this possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Musty Racing, Slade Shock Technology, and Specialty Fuels and Logistics. Make sure to go on the website, click the banners, support the people that support us in the rest of motorsports. Now for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast.
We've got Dan McCarron on with us here tonight. We're going to talk to him about his 2017 plans. Dan, how are you doing?
Good, good. Just getting in from working on the car right now. So, night in the shop.
Yeah, I know Dan's pretty meticulous about the maintenance program of the car, and that's a good thing because you have some big plans this year. You have taken a step into the deep end of the pool. Why don't you talk about a little bit about what your plans are for the season?
Our plans for the 2017 season are to run for Attica points Rookie of the Year, and also the Fast Series 410 Rookie of the Year in Ohio, running Attica and Fremont. So. So, you know, staying where we've been racing, but moving up to race with the best locals in the country.
Well, Dan, you spent some time you've always been in the Midwest. You spent some time up north in Michigan in 2016. We saw you a couple times at one of the tracks I work at. What made you decide to go down there to Ohio and try your hand down there with the Fast Series?
So I've been running 305s in Ohio for the last 3 to 4 years, with the Fast 305 series, hitting shows in Michigan as we can, traveling, trying to get around and just get it to as many races as we can. Opportunity came about last end of the year, maybe August, with a sponsor coming on for 2017 to go 410 racing. So, you know, with his help, Ray from Ken Gill Construction and CK Plumbing, made it possible so that we could, get a very competitive 410 engine and, focus on getting the cars ready and trying to just learn as much as we can and not worry about the engines. So, he's been a big help, so far. It's been great.
Well, Dan, you've already have 1 week of racing under your belt in the 410s. You did make a 410 start last year. For those that don't know, what's the biggest difference jumping from that 305 division to the 410?
Well, I mean, one, everybody is very good. Not that the 305s aren't, but it's one of the best local divisions, 410 divisions in the country. So that in itself, is tough. But just going to the 410, everything happened so much faster. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures, but got a little up in the air this weekend doing some wheelies, you know, and you just got to get used to that and try to keep the front end on the ground. It's just so much more power that some of the things you did in 305s, they just don't work in the 410s, and everything happens so quickly. You know, the cars are considerably lighter, you know, 400 more horsepower. It's a handful. And then, you know, racing with some of the best guys there are, it's tough.
Well, Dan, for some of us that are up here in Michigan, are we going to see you head up north a little bit this year? Or are you strictly running the Ohio series this season?
Well, we'd like to hit some sod shows. I think maybe we have three or four penciled in, as of right now. You know, if we rain out, you know, and there's a sod show that we can get to, that we want to get to, let's go with that, that we can get to in time, you know, we're going to try and be there. One of the big races up in Michigan actually conflicts with the Fast Series, which, you know, is unfortunate. So we won't be making that trek, which I was looking forward to, quite a bit, but, you know, we'll hit and miss what we can and, you know, try to get as many shows in as we can as well, just to keep getting better.
And for fans that don't know, you're in the southeast part of Michigan, so Attica and Fremont, in some cases, is actually closer than probably some of the Michigan sprint car tracks are.
Yeah, actually, Attica's only about an hour and 45, and Fremont's just over an hour. So it's not far from me, actually. I'm not sure what the closest track is in Michigan, but, you know, they're not. I'm not close to any of them. So really, the Ohio tracks are geographically closer. You know, we towed a... you know, Thunderbird or Merritt, it's 3-4 hours. And, you know, people think, oh, it's close, you're in Michigan. No, it's a trek for us. So, you know, Attica, Fremont are more local for us.
Well, Dan, it's been great to see you come up to Michigan. Hopefully you'll make your way north, and I'll get to see you maybe with a sod show at the Crystal Motor Speedway or any of the other shows in Michigan that I'll be able to catch this season. It's been great to have you on. Great start to your 2016 season. I know you're shaking the cobwebs off, and everybody's a little rusty right now, but hopefully great things for you, big things for 2017.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Hello, everyone. TJ Buffenbarger from TJSlideways.com. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening to the podcast, reading the website for the past 21 seasons. Of course, we have some great sponsors that make all of this possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Musty Racing, Slade Shock Technology, and Specialty Fuels and Logistics. Make sure to go on the website, click the banners, support the people that support us in the rest of motorsports. Now for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Well, Trevor, this gentleman that's on the show next is your latest feature winner at the Port Royal Speedway. Quite an adventure getting out there and back. Linton Jeffrey, glad to have you on the program tonight.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, congratulations, man. Quite a weekend. Let's talk about Port Royal. Anytime you beat Dale Blaney anywhere, it's something to write home about, and it had to be pretty special to win there at the Port.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about beating Dale Blaney, but I think Greg Hodden is somebody that we wouldn't want to forget, and I tell you what, it was pretty fantastic to finish in front of him, too.
And also, going out to Attica Raceway Park, that's an unusual combination. You would normally see a driver maybe go to Central PA, maybe hit the Grove in Port Royal. Why did you want to hit Attica and then Port Royal?
I don't know. It just seemed like it was on the way. I felt like there was I looked at the weather, and it looked windy at Attica, and I felt like that generally when there's a fair bit of wind around, there's not much rain, so... I thought it was an opportunity to get a race in. It looked kind of iffy for Port on Saturday, but I thought, well, at least I'll get one race in. And I'd never been to Attica before. I have been there, but not as a driver. I was in I think it was back in 2001, Kevin Fry was racing, and I was helping him out, and we were racing together, and he was driving that night, and it was an all-star show, and he put it in the A-Main. It was pretty cool.
Well, we just
so
had
I
one...
thought I'd go back out there and give it a shot. So.
Didn't mean to interrupt you there, Linton.
It's all right.
Well, we just had one of your clients on earlier, Dan McCarron. He told us a story that you just upped and decided to drive to the races yourself this past weekend. How did that all come about? Tell us about that drive.
Well, it's nothing I wouldn't do. Normally, like, you know, at this time of year, I mean, if you want to race, I mean, most of my people that are volunteers, you know, that they help me at the races. Like, I have two guys that help me when I race at Houston Speedway or Badlands Motor Speedway. They've helped me for years, and they just meet me at the track. And then I have, you know, two or three guys that help me when I race at Knoxville. And so I just kind of, you know, I'll drive to the track and then meet the guys. It's the same. I have really great friends out in Pennsylvania, Kevin Fry and Barry and Patrick. Just great people that have been around me for years, and I can drive to them, and then, you know, I've got help. So, you know, as long as I take my time, it's just like any truck driver, you're just doing your thing, you know. So stop, I really enjoy it anyway, just being able to get out and you get your mind straight and think about what you're going to try and accomplish, you know, racing, and think about setups and all kind of stuff. See, it's only... It's fun passing the time, driving along, so it's no big deal.
Which is tougher, driving from Iowa to Pennsylvania or making maybe one of the cross-country treks across to Australia to get between track to track?
Well, I mean, when I came, I believe going across the Nullarbor is really, really treacherous, but I never got to do that. When I raced there, I couldn't afford it, so we just put the race car on a Road Express freight truck and it took it over, and I flew over and raced. So I got out of it a couple of times, and when I raced in Adelaide and places like that, I drove other people's cars, so I just flew there. I did get to drive to Warrnambool. My brother and I drove down, raced at Mount Gambier a couple of times, and but yeah, we really couldn't afford to do much racing when I was racing back there in Australia, so we didn't get out of town very often. And really, I race at the best racetrack in the whole country anyway, in my opinion, by far, which is, you know, what was called Parramatta City Raceway. It's now called Valvoline Raceway, and it was Sydney Speedway. So, you know, it's the best one to be at, and that's where I grew up. So, you know, it's kind of quite a bit like Attica, really.
Well, Linton, what's your plans for 2017?
We're going to... race a couple races here in the next couple of weeks at Burlington I-34 Raceway, and then we're going to race at Granite City before the opener Friday night. Hopefully we'll race at Granite City Friday night before the opener at Knoxville, and then we'll have a car at Knoxville every week. I'm going to miss a couple of shows. There's some races at Badlands, which I'd like to support because we've had a lot of great fans and sponsors up there, and so I'll do those races. Then there's a Jackson Motorplex is having a first track championship for 410s in many years, and really want to get up and I like that track. It's a big fast half mile, so I want to give that a crack. That's our plans.
Well, Linton, you're also very involved in the business side of sprint car racing, being one of the proprietors of Vortex Wings. I wanted to ask you kind of an industry question, at least from my point of view. It seems like all the time I'm having to add tracks that are adding sprint cars. Seems like we're having more sprint car racing right now than we've seen maybe ever. Are you seeing that same uptick? I talked to other manufacturers, and they seem to think that the sprint car racing side of motorsport seems to be on the uptick a little bit. Are you seeing that from your end as well?
Yeah, I think worldwide, I think sprint cars... Sorry, I keep getting my voice come back at me sometimes, so I'm wondering whether it's you talking or me talking. yeah, just worldwide, I think the level of professionalism in sprint car racing has just raised up. I mean, There's a lot of parts out there, a lot of manufacturers, so there's a lot of competition. It seems like the quality of the parts is a lot higher than it used to be at one time. They're more readily available, and so they get more and more use. When I say more use, they're able to trickle down to classes like 360s and 305s, and those guys get to reuse the parts and go racing with them. So, you know, manufacturers are going to see their numbers go up, and as those classes grow, the starter classes, and they keep adding more different, you know, I believe there's a crate motor class now, Plymouth Indiana, and the motors that they're going to run in those cars, they're already running them at Knoxville, a similar motor. Chevy's got out there, it's a crate motor, and it's just really smart. It races for a long time, a guy who gets to have a lot of fun, and it's affordable, and that's really what it's about for all us manufacturers, is the more people out there racing, the more parts we've got to build, and you know, the more professional it is, and the bigger the at the higher end of the sport, the more equipment you need to be competitive. So it seems like there's more equipment being bought at the top level as it grows and gets bigger, and then it trickles down. It's working for everybody. So that's why the sport's really growing. And you know, if you probably notice, like, 360 racing's growing in its areas, and it's healthy. And then 410 seem to be getting stronger everywhere. I feel like we've got a good future for the sport, and we need to keep working towards trying to reduce motor costs and tyre costs, and I think we'll get there even quicker. So.
Well, and why don't you take a second here, racing, we just talked about the state of racing, not cheap for any of you guys that participate, and then why don't you take a second and thank those sponsors that make racing possible for you?
For me, JW Motorsports, Justin Webb is one of my best friends in Australia. He's a full quadriplegic. He watches everything via the internet. He's our Frank Williams. You know, if you're into motorsport, you know who Frank Williams is, and I have my own personal one. Justin's a great guy, and without his support from the other side of the world, I probably couldn't do what I do. Vortex Racing Products is my own wind company. Obviously, it's a big supporter of what we do, and we also have a friend here in Iowa who's Mark Bonnell, who owns MB2 Kart Raceway, indoor kart centres, and they've just built a new one in St. Paul, Minneapolis area, and they have one here in Des Moines, and I think they're going to build one down in Kansas City. So he's got a lot going on, and he gives us a lot of support too. So that's pretty much it. Other than that, we have, you know, a lot of support from manufacturers and friends in the industry that I support also. So my family's probably my best sponsors, my brother and my wife and our kids. Without their support, I wouldn't do any of it. So it's pretty much that simple. We get in and do the work and get after it and go racing. Isn't that what it's all about?
Well, and thank you for taking time out to join us tonight, and best of luck in the 2017 season.
Thanks for having me on.
Hello everyone, TJ Buffenbarger from TJSlideways.com. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening to the podcast, reading the website for the past 21 seasons. Of course, we have some great sponsors that make all of this possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Musty Racing, Slade Shock Technology, and Specialty Fuels and Logistics. Make sure to go on the website, click the banners, support the people that support us in the rest of motorsports. Now for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Getting ready to close out this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Trevor, biggest takeaway from this week's program?
I would have to say biggest takeaway for me is that Linton Jeffrey is not afraid to drive pretty much across the country to race sprint cars all by himself.
That's pretty remarkable to me. Caleb Helms, you know, just that comeback, you know, for after you said 5 years and just not winning and get someone like Andy Potter on his crew shows you, you know, if you get someone spinning the wrenches that gives you a wee bit of confidence, look what happens. I mean, the kid goes out and wins a couple races this weekend. Pretty remarkable deal. And Trevor, racing continues to pick up. We got some big USAC action coming to the area this weekend.
We do. Big USAC show. Also, the midgets at Montpelier, they're going to start their season off with a midget show. You know, and you and I were talking off the air about the resurgence of midget racing, and they're gonna start their 2017 season off at Montpelier with the midgets. So that's going to be exciting. A lot of non-wing open-wheel racing coming up in a few short weeks.
Yeah, USAC makes their first Midwest appearance with the sprint cars at Lawrenceburg on Saturday. And Trevor, over 30 Silver Crown cars entered at Terre Haute on Sunday, man. What a great sign that is to see that kind of entry for the first Silver Crown race of the year.
It's interesting to see that many cars for a series that just a few years ago people were saying was fading away. It's certainly not fading away at Terre Haute, and that's going to be excellent racing. Can't wait to see the highlights of that one.
Something to keep an eye on this weekend, and we have Attica Raceway Park scheduled to run on Friday night, and their rain date for all their spring shows, since I can remember, is Saturday. Mansfield running a sprint car non-wing winged doubleheader on Saturday, and Atomic Speedway is opening with the Ohio Sprint Car Series on Saturday. So, and also you throw Mercer Raceway Park, their first sprint car programs on Saturday. So we're starting to get some of the weekly tracks going again. It'll be interesting to see where people go, because obviously Mansfield, beautiful facility, pays $5,000 to win, but there are points involved at Ohio Sprint Car Series at Atomic and Attica. If it were to rain, they would run on Saturday and Mercer. And then also the USAC points at Lawrenceburg will probably take away a couple non-wing cars, but that could open up the opportunity to see a couple of different guys maybe slide into Mansfield. But either way, plenty of racing to pick from this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a great weekend. Can't wait to talk next week about some of the results and as you said, some of the different guys that we might see in Victory Lane.
Well, we also will be here next week to talk about it, but before we do that, before we close the show, don't forget, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, also now on the Google Play Store. Also, make sure to leave a review, good, bad, indifferent, whatever. Trevor, we'd love to hear from the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only way we can get the attention that racing deserves is for you guys to share us and like us on Facebook, on the Apple iTunes Store. Leave a review. Get us going up the charts of some of the new and noteworthy podcasts that are out there.
All right. Well, Trevor, we survived another week, man, and we're another week closer to actually getting out to the racetrack.
Yes, we are.
All right. So thank you for listening to this edition of the TJ Slideways podcast. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.